Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to meet together and make decisions, Lord, that will honor and glorify you for the betterment of this community and this college. Thank you for everything that you do for us, none of which we deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, have any guests that we need to recognize? Looks like most everybody we know.
The usual suspects.
Okay, this time the board will hear comments and questions from individuals who have not requested a specific place on the agenda and want to address the board. I do not see anyone that's here to do that. Assuming there are no comments, we will close this proceeding next. Okay, our next item on the agenda is minutes for regular meeting. You've had a chance to read those, I think, and go over them. I will entertain a motion to approve those.
So moved.
Have a motion to have a second.
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Same case. I would assume that would go for the checklist for December. Monthly report for auxiliary services, personal matters, and internal report.
Yes, sir. That's all of that.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Our next item on the agenda, no unfinished business, new business in the district. Visioning and future direction for the district.
All right. First on the agenda, the order of the general election. As you all know, we do have an election that you need to basically call for May, and so as a part of the process, you have need to make that known.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the order for general election.
So moved.
Have a motion. Have a second.
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Preliminary Facilities Master Plan 2024.
All right. Also, as a part of your planning in the last few years, the decision was made that we needed to have an updated facility master plan. And also, as a part of your process, you determined that it would be a good idea if we had Phil Firkland, who is basically your architect of record, appointed architect and worked with us on many, many things. And then Terry Hansen, who obviously has served in various roles for the college through the years and has a great understanding of the buildings that we have across the district. So these two guys have been working diligently on this for a long time. They've talked to us a bunch about surveys and all that, but they're here today to give you a preliminary review of what they've put together. So I'll stop with that and let those two guys come forth. You do have paper copies that were provided to you. And so you will have, again, opportunity. This is preliminary. You'll have the opportunity to review these, and then if there's anything that we need to go back and do, we can do for the final.
This is a lot better than the
electronic.
You couldn't really expand it enough to really.
Yeah, to look.
Because board book is tricky that way.
It is.
Some people won't read the paper copy, and some people won't do the electronic, so we have to do both. And
there you go.
It's perfectly okay. But very pleased to be here before the board again. Glad to be here, and we appreciate y'all's confidence in us, my firm, JPFA, and my association with Terry Hansen. Between us both, we've probably got 80 years of experience, so that's why I think we're here doing this. Of course, the master plan is a requirement of your accrediting organization. And but not only that, it's a really good idea to do it. I know the last one that was done, the college really used it and was stuck with it and accomplished so many of the action items in that plan. So it was just time to come up with another one. So, anyway, it seemed like somebody's always busy, so I'll kind of start from the beginning. My firm is JPFA, and you know, I'm the architect principal of the firm, and so we're here to do the master plan, and so we were hired to do that, and we think we've come up with a pretty dandy document so far. It's in a constant state of flux and updating. Probably by Wednesday, the document you have there will be obsolete. But, so we keep working on this thing and improving it all along. And by the time we get to the final, we think we're going to be in really good shape. And so when we go into these things, like I said, we've got a lot of experience with all of your campuses, Terry and myself. And we think we know a lot, but there's a lot to learn. So we did the survey, and faculty, staff, administration, community, we got a lot of responses. We got a lot more this time than we did last time because of the way it was structured. Down to 16, I think, statements or questions that you respond to. And, those responses are in here, and I think you should be very pleased with the level of response that you got. I'm going to let Terry kind of go into all of that, but we got the responses. We used the Calculus software idea to do to build the little graph stuff. Since Terry is the smart one, he's the one who did that. I'll take the credit for it. But anyway, we're going to go and we looked at that. Then we went to every building in the district and did an on-site evaluation of every building. So we're going to take the survey results and our building evaluation to put them together. And then from that, we can come up with recommendations and suggestions for site circulation, site lighting, condition of the site, parking and paving conditions, grounds and how well they're being kept, building envelopes, the outside of the building finishes, educational and activity adequacy. We'll look at landscaping. Your systems, HVAC, plumbing systems, electrical systems, we'll look at all that. And then, of course, very important is fire protection and life safety. And then we'll also look at accessibility. So, and like Dr. Sparks said, this is a draft talk. But we think we need to get you guys kind of on board and give you a fairly comprehensive overview. Because time's coming when we make suggestions and recommendations and provide cost data, but as the board and the policymakers, you guys have the right of approval. And there may be some things in here that you want to make some changes, add some things, delete some things, modify them, and y'all can do that, and we want to get that kind of response from y'all. But we kind of, we don't want to wait too long because we're going to try to come up with a final draft in about a month, I think. So, anyway, so if we could get that in maybe a couple of weeks or less, that would be very helpful for us. We've got a good structure, we think. I think we improved on the last one, and I'm going to let Terry, who's kind of that came up with the structure of how the document lays out, and we think it's going to be a good one, it's going to be a useful one. I'm going to let him talk to you all about how this thing comes together as a document.
All right. Everyone has a document. Okay. Basically, it's laid out in chapter format, and the document in chapter one is more or less the one place giving president, board of trustees. We had the vision, role, purpose, district, and then was reading it that may not be so much made with the college section. We introduction just a paragraph on each of our points. Yeah. And that's on page four. We took method have the build evaluate how all together and then from that we analyze the data and we're in the process of making recommendations to you. On page six there's just a timeline of Howard College and that's really a gift page for an external reader. And Phil's going to go into these chapters in detail with you in a minute. But on this document, we felt like that it would be more useful to have each in a discrete chapter. For example, chapter 3, San Angelo, chapter 4, Squid, chapter 5. Each of those chapters are a discrete unit. And you'll find a narrative of the beginning, and then you'll find apps that go over starting existing map and then going into some phases that will further explain. And so you'll have that same structure, as I said, on the chapter. And then I think that at this point, I think since we've kind of laid the groundwork for the structure of the document and how it's laid out, then I'm going to step back and let Phil. I'm going to step back and let Phil go over the four chapters or the four campuses and tell you what is in them.
Eric, while Phil's coming up, I just moved this phone a little bit, maybe, and it seemed like it stopped cracking. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I think I've had a connection.
Okay. Well, it stopped. I don't know if you and I were messing with it about the same time, but I moved it a little bit.
You disconnected everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, but it stopped, so we'll go forward. Whatever works.
They call me that whenever I show up, that things that magically fit.
Oh, is that what
it is? It is true. Oh, it is true. We're glad that happened there.
I teased the ball.
Yeah.
Wow, amazing.
Okay, so this, Terry, he likes to do the computer. This is the part that I do, play with pencils and, Crayolas and draw the maps and stuff. So all four chapters are set up identically. We have a little overview narrative at the beginning. We have an existing map. We try to show everything as accurate as we can. We got the walls and trees and all that. Then we move into the concept map, and it doesn't look that much different than the existing one, except this is a phase format. Now, this is one that I need to edit. So that you can kind of look at it and see where the changes will be in a graphic manner that's pretty overt so that you don't have to dig it out with the text. We're just trying to make it easy for you. So then, you got four phases for each campus. 1 through 5, 6 through 10, 11 through 15, and 16 through 20. So each phase has a map and I'm going to kind of go to this, and maybe kind of boring, you know, by the time I get to the end, but I just think you need to kind of know what we're suggesting so that, you know, you don't have to struggle to figure out what's going on. You know, if you look on page 12, that'll be first page. And the areas that we work are highlighted in the purple, and the index, it shows the work, and it correlates to positions on the map. We've had some comments about wayfinding on the campus, which I think the signs that were done are pretty adequate to just tell you where a building is, but we're thinking that probably the location of a map, you know, a large graphic map that says, you know, you're here, tells you where to go. That's one thing that's missing that we're recommending. A big change is that we're recommending moving the baseball field. And the rationale behind that is
you
need to one out of seven, that's not bad. the dorms are, we reworked them 10 years ago and spent, $3.5 million on them. We got them to acceptable condition then, but the people that live there, the people that work in them, they're wearing down. And I think that your effort at recruiting and attracting people to campus will be enhanced with new dorms. And so we're showing that by moving the baseball field, we can construct new dorms in what we feel is the best place. And then we, it'll be like, it could be like a two-sided dorm, or it could be co-ed, depends on whatever, however you all want to structure that. But keep them separate together. That'll free up, for the women's dorm, that'll free up some space over there. We've got it kind of sided where we can construct this where it is and leave the men's dorm in place, and then we can address that later. When we do the dorm parking lot, we're talking about putting in EV parking stations, since there's a big push for electric vehicles. And so I think do the responsible thing and put some of those in. One big thing that we've been trying to accomplish out here for a while is the Coliseum HVAC. Those rooftops up there are they're original to the building, and they're not really rooftops anymore. They're kind of bankrolls now, so they're on the loop. They're getting to the point to where, they're going to need to be replaced. So we're recommending doing that. We remodeled the old greenhouse into Howard Cottage, and it was pretty cute when we did it. We were real proud of it, but it's looking a little worn, so we're talking about doing a little remodeling in there. We need to work on those steel windows. Like you did at the music building and do some other things. It would be a good little project for that building. A major consideration is there's cooperation or an attempt for cooperation between the college and the county to consolidate the libraries. So if you look at where the letter H is on the map, it's kind of tried to site an addition so that it would take advantage of some of the improvements that were made on the existing library. In other words, we have the windows on the north, which lets in north light is the best light, and so, but we don't want to, obscure that and do away with it, so kind of fixed it where we create an entry feature there, And then we could create in addition to the north. And when the women's dorm is moved and that existing parking that's north of the sub, that can become additional parking for the library. The roof and the Warren Center is, we did the roofing project and we did the perimeter work and did some things, but that membrane experienced some pretty extensive splitting. And thinking that probably that roof is getting very near the end of its life cycle, so we're recommending in the first phase to re-roof that building. And that's something that's really needed. Then we have IT security upgrades where we have your server in the Horace Garrett building. We want to make sure that is not where it can be compromised by somebody, if somebody really wants in, they can get into it, but maybe where it's difficult, get in. We need to protect, your service, protect down your kind of dead end water. Then we want to do switches and things. This is great. Areas, closets where those are, the hardware on the door, lockers, like that. A big thing is upgrade the backbone canvas from 1 gigabyte to 10 gigabytes with the, there's all the new technology stuff, AI and all that. We're gonna need bigger service to the building, or to the campus.
So before you go on, let me just add, and I don't know that we really, I think Terry emphasized it a little bit, but a difference between the previous master plan that we have and the one that they are working on right now, they've really infused the IT infrastructure of this because it's very different, the one that we had 20 years ago, and what is needed today because of highly dependent we are on IT, and walks into the room. But seriously, the infrastructure is critical.
If something wrong with the IT, gets the credit, probably gets the blame when it goes. No pressure. Okay. That was of first campus, and that's your command. Do I need to go faster, slower? Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. So let's move to phase two. Throughout each campus, we letter those sequentially so we don't have, get confused with phase 1A, phase 2A, phase 3A. So if it's them, it's on phase two. So
they
do. Right. Yeah, the spreadsheet in the back, correlates with the way we measure and all the action items on these maps. So M will be a new maintenance building and service building. That's something that we felt was needed. And right now you have maintenance in basically what is an academic building, used to be a big building. I feel like that space in the Warren Center could be utilized to a higher degree if we could free up maintenance. Also, we thought that it would be best if we could have deliveries to the campus without having to drive all the way through the campus and through the service yard. the name of the service yard. So we think that enhancement is going to be something, you know, that's going to be good for the way work, you know, things flow, less safety by not having 18-wheeler drive through campus. That's our first recommendation. And the McKinney Center, that's been through the luck of the roofing project, that's been reworked to a pretty good degree. But we still got HVAC work and some electrical work and things like that that need to be accomplished over there. And then that parking lot is to the east of that is always being oriented the wrong way. So we're gonna fix that and then fix up that parking area there. And then when the maintenance moves out of the Warren Center, that's going to create some residual space. We're going to need a small renovation project there. We'll talk about at some point which programs can be moved to a better spot in which it fits. Instead of, for some programs where spaces occurred in the past and it was handy, we want to try to get them rearranged so that it makes better sense. In the Davis Center, we still have the 1-inch steel windows over there. They're, you know, original to the building. They're rusting. They leak a lot. So we want to go and fix those like we did the windows on the music building. A more modern insulating, soundproof kind of, not soundproof, but sound resistant kind of window. Then we had comments on the Coliseum that the colors are kind of dated, you know, from the 70s where things are kind of taupe and, you know, tan. So we've got some comments to say we probably need to refresh that. Maybe, fix the floors and paint the walls and make it look better. I think in this one, we were maybe talking about doing seating in this one. Was that in a later one? Oh, that's in the next phase. There it is. And then also in the Davis Center, the toilets and the dressing areas, they were out of date a long time ago. So yeah. We just need to go and we need to fix those up, make them feel more inviting, especially the women. The guys we don't care so much about. The women, they need to feel like that was a joke.
Yeah, y'all have to understand, Phil.
No.
We do. We just want to pay attention to it.
But, it just needs to be, it needs to be brought up to this century. I mean, essentially, is what needs to happen. So that concludes phase two. If anywhere along the way y'all have a question, raise your hand. If I misstated something or left something out, feel free to speak up.
And let me make this point, too, Phil. Terry and I, again, have commented before. This map, and they'll show us, we'll talk about it in just a minute, but it is uncanny how much will happen as a result of what we put on paper. And it will also be interesting how there may be things that may come out of phase four in phase one, or vice versa, because things change for whatever reason. So these are not just set in stone that we can only do it during this phase or whatever, because, it may make more sense to do it some other time. So, okay.
And, let me just say, on these five-year increment phases, your first phase, you feel pretty good about. The second phase, your crystal ball gets a little furry, and now in phase three or four, that's kind of just a shot. I mean, think back where we were 10 years ago versus where we are now. I mean, so
Yeah.
But you still got to make the plans and give yourself something to shoot at. Anyway, so we'll move to phase three, which is years 11 to 15. On S, this building we're in, Floyd Roberts Center, it can use some remodeling, and then we feel like we need some additional space, meeting spaces and things like that. Of course, if we add on to the building, we'd recommend not keeping the kitchen where it is, but creating a new kitchen, abandoning 50-year-old plumbing, creating a new kitchen, new dining, frees up a lot of residual space, create dining or meeting areas, and not that we could use a new boardroom. This one's a little small, I think. But I think you'd agree with that. And then create service drive to the sub here. And then by moving the women's dorm, it frees up some space for the more. And you know, we got some outdoor activity area here, but we can create more and better outdoor activity spaces. I think y'all still put up a tent kind of thing. I believe instead of putting up a temporary tent, maybe we could put up a permanent pavilion that could be used year-round and be a big time saver for your maintenance guy. They didn't have to net plus it would be a real feature for y'all here on the campus. So this is the phase in which we're proposing to replace the Coliseum arena seating. It's been around a good while, and you've gotten the good out of it, but it's wearing out. We think it's time to replace it. And then we're proposing to polish the concrete on the Coliseum concourse around vinyl tile. I mean, it's an inexpensive product, but when you factor in the maintenance it takes to keep it looking good over the life of the product, 20 years, you eclipse the cost of the vinyl tile several times over. So if we come in and get a good grind on the concrete around the concourse, and at that point you can stain it if you want to, you can leave it gray, and then they just make all kinds of sealers that go on it. You can have a real high gloss sealer, but it's real trackable. I mean, it would look like it would be slick, but it's actually got a good grit to it, so you wouldn't fall down. But when you have a matte finish or a semi-gloss, there's all kinds of finishes you can put on it. We think it over the long term is going to save a lot of money. On the Horace Garrett building, we have an elevator over there. If you've been over there lately, you notice the clutch and the steering wheel is kind of all over. Really, the thing is, it's small. I mean, you get like three adult men in there. It's tight. I'm not even close to being accessible. So we want to remodel that so that somebody in a wheelchair can easily get in, ride the elevator, and get out on the second floor and go down. And then on the last part of phase three, we're talking about re-roofing the areas around campus that we did the repairs on. And we did the repairs because the membrane on all these buildings are mostly pitch with 5-6 fiberglass shell. Those membranes last like 40 years, and they're still mostly working good, except at the Warren building. But at this point, they are going to be close to 40 years old, so you need to start thinking about replacing the membranes on the rest of your building. So one of the things that I left out is that I think is an important feature on the sub where we have the addition. We have the parking at the stadium, and so a lot of people use that. And with the addition on the Dora Roberts Center, it's kind of creating a secondary front door there. And so by now, when you approach the building, you come in from the side or you walk around to the front, trying to create a major entry over on the west side. And that parking that's right there, we're proposing to create planters and landscaping and lighting there to make it look more inviting at night if you want to park there and come into the building. So we think that'll be a good feature. So then we move to phase four, year 16 and 20. You see, Z would be to fix the rest of that parking area for the stadium, and that's what we did in phase three on the sub. So, it's not going to take that many light poles, that many lights. A lot that tonight is, if you've been to a football game, wandering around in the dark, not the best way, having light out there would be a welcome addition, I think. Then on item AA, we can lay out a walking trail around the campus, and for not a lot of money, and create an exercise walking trail, and we can get like a mile trail around so people that they're on campus, community members can come and use that, in the evening even. And we think that would be a welcome addition. And then on BB, we're, some of the aluminum letters around campus are a little dated. Some of them are kind of deco-like, which is from back in that kind of lettering was current back in the 30s, but we're talking about replacing all the signage on the building to attach to the wall on the building. And then and the last item at Big Spring is going to be on the Hall Center. That membrane that we put up there is a asphalt membrane with type 6 felts, and by this time it'll have been there for 35 years, and it'll definitely be time to re-roof that building. I mean, it's working good now, but you want to head it off before it gets to be a problem. So, do you want to talk about the spreadsheet now? Right. Yeah, just looking at phase four, you can see we got Z and A, B, B, C, C, and then we have an estimated cost, which that's still a work in progress, but we think we're pretty close. The next 20 years, there'll be something in the neighborhood of $45 million. In current dollars, so that that correlates back to the maps, so you can look at the maps, the spreadsheet, and see what the cost is, or we project the cost to be, and then you can decide. And then we got the narrative and rationale on all the action items, which probably tells you what I've been trying to tell you, but it does it better than I've been doing there. So Give a little time, you can read that, and I have even better understanding of what we're proposing. So that's the Big Spring campus suggestions. Any questions, comments, anything from anyone?
Don't we have the HVAC on the Coliseum? Aren't we in the middle of that?
We are. And so, you know, that's the... What Ben was saying, aren't we in the middle of doing some of the HVAC work on the Coliseum right now? And we are. So that shows the timeliness that, yes, I mean, some of these things that we're literally working on. So
right.
We're
now,
in process.
Yeah, years 1 through 5, some of them are...
Right now. They're happening.
6 months.
Yeah.
But we are figuring on that as a $2 million project, isn't it? Like $600,000
for
half of it?
It's going to be, it'll be closer to about $1.2
million. Yeah, because we're doing half of it for $600,000.
Yep.
I'm just trying to keep it square in my head because this is obviously an enormous amount of money altogether.
Sure.
And we need to shift and adjust and tighten and...
Right, and work through it.
And, yeah, and figure out, you know, where that's coming from.
Prime example we've got going on right now, and I'm getting Fabian and Steve to be listening to me here, but like the project that's out there right now, or the RFP that's out there right now, that we've been working on the units, rooftop units on the Coliseum and the transformers. As the contractors have been looking at everything, they're saying that we even need more power here at the sub, if I'm getting that right. And so they're recommending that we put it back out on the street again because they feel like that we need to include that. So, yeah, this is it's a moving target. But we, and to Ben's point, Phil, and I think you know that, we had made the decision this summer that we were going to go down the path of half of those units
right.
on the Coliseum.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's happening that may be a consideration, I don't know how we'll take care of that, but through the process of having these contractors on campus, in order to do the rooftop unit work at the Coliseum, they're talking cranes, and if not cranes, helicopters. Because of the fact that what's going to happen, the perimeter of that building is going to crack everything up, you know, and so we're having to look at all different things like that, which may force us back to the drawing board because it's not going to make sense to do that twice.
Nice.
And so those are some of the kinds of things that we're running into, but, yeah.
I have a couple questions. So is moving the baseball field going to go over well with, like, the community?
Well, that has been – moving the baseball field has kind of been an interesting little conversation, hasn't it, John?
Yes.
Because there are some in the baseball world that they are very superstitious.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
They're very superstitious about you don't – what has worked, you don't mess with it. And it's that, field of dreams kind of thing. And so – that has been something that we have really had conversations about with the baseball, really kind of the baseball community, our baseball community, which is the coaches and the players and all that. But frankly, down east has been the consideration for that baseball field for many, many moons. But then what happened is we won another national championship, and then everybody keeps, we already had one in place, we already had one in place when we first started talking about the baseball field moving down there, but then when the second one happened, then, yeah, it starts, people start really, you know, it's a big recruiting tool and all that, so, yeah, so that is not a popular concept at times. But as far as what makes sense on the campus, as far as strategically placing that there are different. Aren't there, John?
There's a more modern way to approach athletics, and with a new baseball field up to date and up to snuff, would attract a lot more students, I think. More people attending those games with the baseball field. Currently, the baseball field is at the center, and there's no way to get to it hardly. It's run down. Needs maintenance right where a park needs to be for the students to be able to go out under trees and grass and enjoy the campus. That's my opinion for what it's worth.
Yeah. Now these guys are—they're talking putting a dorm, you know. But anyway.
We'll do. We'll use the whole time.
Yeah. Sure.
Part of that would be to have outdoor space.
Right. Exactly.
Activity areas for that. And that's the other impact. I mean, if you leave the baseball field where it is, and the dorms are, you know, they're and y'all need new. And so what that would mean is that you.
And then another question is, when we demolish like dorms, so these are, I'm guessing the parties must have been donors for those dorms, will they be renamed or?
No, actually, the dorms that that were created, I believe they were part of bond, originally bonds.
Revenue bonds.
And then we eventually, we've had some additions, but those were revenue bonds as well. But the board made the decision to name those accordingly because of the fact that they were major donors anyway.
You have a lot of big donors lined up.
Yeah. There's a lot of cost to all this. There's no doubt about it. But it's just real things that are coming.
Dorms will typically be paid for with revenue bonds.
Right.
So that's paid for through
the grant
fee. Mm-hmm. So that's not
going to be a taxpayer. Right. So having a dorm is an attractive feature of a school.
And our dorms are not a modern concept, if you will. And we just think that, you know, as time has gone on, we've gotten smarter. We know, you know, and preferences and methods have evolved. We just think we can do a better job.
Yeah, I like the idea.
Absolutely.
Dr. Freeman said about making the baseball field more attractive and a feature for recruiting, having new dorms also plays off of that. So they both work together to make recruiting new students and things, and maybe even faculty, if they had faculty housing, maybe in the dorm, you know, that might be an added attraction to that. That would be something, you know, you address down the road.
You know, the women's baseball field down there now is absolutely wonderful. I mean, it's a great facility. And with the men's right next to it, under similar construction, would absolutely draw the people from all over the place to come see that place.
And so many times we have softball and baseball at the same time.
Sure.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah. It just makes sense.
Yeah. I love the idea of the dorms moving where that is. I mean, I'm a baseball guy, so I'm a little superstitious. But the need for the dorms, having been in charge of outreach in this place, that the dorms were a deterrent for a lot of the kids that I used to show around. So I'll just be honest. That was
how long ago?
Oh, good night.
That was a long time
ago. Yeah, 15.
So 20, I can imagine
yeah,
now.
15,
so,
20.
I mean,
yeah.
That is
just...
We'll
touch on this a little bit, but obviously we didn't survive without a dorm even for a year.
Yeah.
So the way that Phil has designed and placed the new dorm, the construction could go on during the school year.
Yeah.
And be ready for
that's
the next
very,
fall.
Very good design.
So it's, I mean, it's... everything just works together like
baseball.
A well-oiled machine.
Well, everything's still good. It's a good design.
Any other questions? Comments?
I'll say my piece.
Where we are in Big Spring, of course, that's the largest, most comprehensive effort. So we'll move on to Amica, which, as y'all... Probably where that's kind of a unique animal. That's 100% owned by the county, in Dawson County. Y'all get benefit of the building through, I guess, some kind of financial arrangement. So it's a little bit different. So you got the existing staff, and one thing that happened, which is a really good feature, is the mid innings toilets were remodeled to be accessible, so you don't have to worry doing that. And that's a good feature of the building. And then, your concept plan kind of shows the executed part of what we're proposing. It's moved to phase one, years 1 through 5, and of course, maybe talk about things are in the master plan that are being considered. They're already talking about reorienting the entry vestibule on B. They had an environmental control with two pairs of doors because of accessibility. The outside pair of doors were taken out because when you come up to a building and you have an entry door, you have to have a level 5x5 level landing in front of the doors. But the slope is too steep, so the air for making it accessible, the outside doors are taken out. But kind of the way the building is oriented, in the winter you get a lot of cold air coming through there whenever you open the door. So they want to reestablish that environmental lock in there. That means we need to do a little concrete paving and reorient some accessible parking outside. And so some of that's being considered now, and I'm not sure exactly if that's gonna be happening, but I know that they're looking at it. The office door on A, it needs to be reoriented to be a better swing better and work better for the people in the office. We'll get input from them whenever we do that. There is a door, I guess that would be like the northwest side that kind of makes that storage area awkward and usable. We're talking about taking that door out and then building the masonry. And of course, then item D, which we don't show that on the map, because those kind of efforts occur campus wide. So we have to have IT calling it security upgrade so people can get to your switches and things like that.
Also, security concerns.
Right,
yeah.
The way
you're telling people where you're...
Yeah, Terry, that was Terry's point. we don't want to tip the terrorists off to where our switches and stuff are, so they have an easier time to sabotage them. Okay, so that was 0 to 5 and 6 to 10 on phase 2, which is, you know, pretty comprehensive for this building. We have a large room on the south side of the building. It's got some kind of open office partitions up to, you know, 5 feet. It's really too large to do a lot with. And it's just awkward. Accessibility is poor. So we're talking about reworking that. And then the office is limited in space for what they need to do. So we're going to take all that area that's in turquoise. We're going to expand the offices. And then it'll move into that large space, room 5 that's on the south. We'll create a private office there in a lockable area for files, because, you know, your student records are very private. You want to make sure that those aren't interfaced by just anybody. So we're going to create a separate files area for that, so you keep control of your student files. It will create a classroom in addition to a DNA classroom. Have a computer lab back there, faculty housing, and then we'll put in the proper slopes on the ramps to be able to get people in wheelchairs in and out of those spaces right there. So that is what we're proposing from 6 to 10. That's a pretty ambitious project for that campus, mainly because of the way things are funded. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
But I think it's worthy of pursuit. Then phase 3, we're talking about repaint parking lot. Kind of all over. Having subsurface fit. To do repaving there. On the core phase, we're talking about repainting, touching up the building, touching up the way that it looks. And, you know, we're fairly modest budget compared to the rest, but it's still, I think, it's going to be a challenge to try to do that.
I just might make the point that the Dawson County they've been great to us, and the county will—they'll look at some of this and they'll do some of it. Even, you know, not the paving,
yeah.
You know, they would eventually help with some of those kinds of things. But some of the larger dollar items, we may want to pursue grant opportunity.
They've done some good things.
They
put in the LED, which the standard load, and
yeah.
good lighting.
Great.
So, you know, they're working on it all.
They are. They did the electrical.
Supposed to be a good shape and recently. So,
yep.
I think just need a little more. what is being planned, what is being accomplished, what you want to set your sight on in the future. And if you look at item B, construction of the plumbing and electrical building, I was told that they're actually building the pad for that building today. Start building the pad for the building. So it's funded and under construction. Get to mark something off on phase one today. That's a good, right?
Yeah.
So starting A, we think we can improve the outdoor sign much the same way that we're proposing to do it here with, large site maps, here and here where the buildings are, so you can be oriented going on to the campus so you have an idea of where you're going if you're first getting to the campus. And then the thing that we're working on, and we master plan presented to y'all in the past, is the remodeling of the health professions area. And we kind of got it laid out to the point. Now, it may change in the future, but we've got a plan now, and I think we're talking about doing some funding efforts here in the near future, and we'll provide some more information for that so that we can accomplish that. That'd be a great use of a lot of that building. And then, of course, then you've got the IT closet security upgrade on campus. And all the IT stuff, we're saying everywhere, needs to be done in the first phase and probably in the first year because of the sensitivity of it. So you'll notice that is the thing that will run throughout all four of the campuses.
I might just make a quick comment that Phil and I talked about this, and we talked about the flush value, and it's not another single thing in this master plan that if something bad were to happen, that could shut the college down. But if the network or our data was lost or whatever, it could be absolutely disastrous.
For every campus.
For every campus.
Yeah.
So,
the kind of machine they have over there, you don't get those at Best Buy either. They make those, and it could be 6 months.
Oh, it could be months to order a replacement unit if it was destroyed physically or electronically. And just so you'll know, we did, Phil and I worked closely with Eric and some of his guys to come up with this plan. This wasn't something that just didn't fall out of the sky. There are vulnerabilities that we have right now that should be addressed. And the state, as you know, we've heard some of those IT security knowledge. Well, they're not prescriptive, and Eric's obviously, totally conformist to that. They're not prescriptive of how you take care of your data. They just want you to take care of your data.
Okay, any questions about the first phase? And moving into the second phase, talking about including parking area lighting in. A lot of comments about light levels in the parking area. I mean, there is some lighting there, but it's got attention to the plus side, and I think it kind of just freaks everybody out.
I personally don't think, it's only my opinion, it's a very small item, and I don't think that should be in phase two, 6 to 10 years. I think that if there's that much concern about lighting, which I think there is on that campus, that needs to not wait 6 years to be taken care of.
That's a good point.
I mean, that needs to be, honestly, $50,000, not that that's nothing to everybody here, but we spend $50,000 readily for a lot of things, and I think that that's something that needs to be done quickly.
Well, life safety, security.
Right, that's...
Safety and all that.
I mean, if it was a $10 million item, it would be one thing. But for $50,000, if we prevent one incident or whatever, it was cheap at the price. So I personally would like to see that bumped up to now. I mean, as in, if not this season, if not this semester, certainly next year's budget.
So
I mean, that's important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Good comment. Then, we have had a request maybe to create in some residual space in the WTTC fitness area. I just drew a little box in the middle to put a letter by it to show that it will go somewhere in that building. We don't know where it'll go, but when it comes time to put in, you know, we'll program it. Make sure that it fits and works well for everyone. So, moving on to phase three, we've got, this is a, from a mechanical standpoint, this is a pretty cool building because it's VAV boxes, and we don't have many VAV boxes out in this part of the country because people don't know how to work on that here, but, you know, They're in the WTTC, and it is a really great system. If you got guys that can work on them and know how to maximize them. The problem with the system, though, is that the chillers are wearing out in the air handlers. Again, it's got a cooling tower. Which is the most efficient way to accomplish cooling your refrigerant. But we need to think about replacing those units inside. And that'll be something that'll probably be a good, I don't know if it'll be good for probably 40 years. And so it'll be time to do that. Phase three, phase four. There's space now that is kind of used to be kind of a lunchroom. It has had restaurants, there were vendors there in the past. And I've been in there, and that kind of activity going is really handy. And so they want to revitalize that area and, you know, create vending or bring in somebody from the outside to serve food in, and that's item H. And then in phase four, it's going to be time to reroute all the membrane roofs campus-wide and probably apply the coating on the metal buildings at that point. So that'll be years.
Wasn't there a plan when we were there, or since then, we've heard about a plan that was going to rework that sort of cafeteria area there and put some kind of an office, something.
Yeah, it's our teaching and learning lab.
Right. And certainly, again, not to throw stones. But again, I don't think we're looking at waiting 16 to 20 years to do that. I mean, that from what we heard when we were down there last fall was...
Yeah, we're working on that one.
It was now.
Yeah.
Or close to it, or with the West Texas Training Center project.
Yeah.
That's not a... I guess that's my... I hate to put this way. My problem with this is that some of the things that you've got is 16 to 20 years. I mean, re-roofing these buildings on San Angelo, they don't need it for 16, 20 years. Fine, it's out there. But some of the stuff that's on here that's kind of intermediate, 6 to 10, 11 to 15, are things that we need to be doing now. you know, things that we've talked about doing that are, if not this year, certainly within the next 2-3 years, projects. Now, we haven't particularly talked about doing a dorm, so forth, right away, but a lot of these little outdoor signage projects, you know, we've talked about pushing on those budget cycles too. And so when you know, that's not sort of years 16 to 20 or whatever. It's got to happen sooner than that.
Yeah, and like I said, these are just sort of our recommendations. And we're going to move things around depending on the final report.
Absolutely.
After you get the final report, if you look at it and as a board you feel like, you can elect to do these out of order and
I mean, you said that the HVAC there is wearing out. Okay, it's starting to wear out. You really have 11 to 15 years? We have that much time. That's good then.
As long as we
do have it, because I mean, on one hand, it's wearing out, and on the other hand, well, we'll deal with 15 years. That's in your own home. If something was wearing out, and figure, well, I'm going to deal with that in 15 years.
My biggest concern for our campus when we're talking about HVAC kinds of things. My biggest concern is where the money's going to come from.
Both.
And so those are things that we're going to have to be working on in preparation for things like that, because our brick and mortar in San Angelo, we've been able to do some buildings and things like that. But as we're talking about all this, these buildings, they get old. They start needing to be worked on, and a lot of times donors are not real interested in rewiring buildings and things like that. And so that is some of my biggest concerns. And you'll see as we move through and we look at some of these things too, the suggestions on how to take care of different aspects of it. They're going to vary by the campus, and they're going to vary even within the campuses. We will also think in terms of, well, what could be a revenue bond, what could be a GO bond, what could be a donor, you know, that kind of thing. And that's exactly what we did with the previous 20-year one. After that plan was put in place, we went back and we thought, okay, you know, what can we do, you know, and again, uncanny, but it works. And then you begin, I mean, like that music building, prime example. We felt like there would be a donor that would eventually show interest in that. It happened. We're, 15 years down the road? We haven't completed the 20-year. I mean, we're getting toward the end of the 20-year.
Right.
But then there were things on the Big Spring campus that we assigned to different approaches. And so we'll do the same thing when we get this kind of finalized. Then we'll go back and we'll start thinking about, okay, how do we want to approach this? Is it going to be a donor? Is it going to be a revenue bond? You know, the only place we can do a GO bond is Howard County, Big Spring campus. When we start talking about the SWID campus, we're going to be talking about what kinds of things can we do legislatively? You know, and
right.
So.
But we've
decided
to do those bathrooms, which are on here.
Yeah.
You know, we decided to pay for that.
Right.
Separately.
Yep. Yep.
This is a little comment and support for what Mr. Batchin has been saying. This is exactly the kind of interest that we wanted.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I will predict that even after this is done, then something will be in phase four that you'll do in phase one and phase two, even after we've massaged.
Absolutely.
So everything right now that is all in draft form, things are easy to move around.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look on the spreadsheet, you know, you've got potential funding sources, revenue bonds, you know, bond package, performance contract, and local grant funding. So, you know, we're giving consideration to the different funding avenues.
And they're the problem.
Yep.
I mean, if we had $60 million, we could do everything right now.
Exactly.
Right.
But we don't.
We don't.
Well, and, you know, that's something that we're probably going to talk about later, that maybe at some point a general obligation bond might be needed for some of this, and we might end up doing phase one through three, you know. But, you know, that's a board decision. Anyway, so the San Angelo campus, you know, a little more than $2 million to accomplish what we're proposing so far. And you know, I could change some, you know, depending how we refine our numbers in it. There's probably going to be some things as we sift through the evaluation reports that we're going to pick up. And probably have to get these risks on all these campuses. So moving into SWID, as Dr. Sparks was saying, it's, you know, funding-wise, it's a completely different animal than everything else. There's been legislative appropriation time, whatever that is. Y'all know that better than I do. So...
Can I ask real quick, how old are the dorms at SWID?
The dorms at SWID were constructed in the 90s.
Yeah. The first one, 1995.
Yeah. No.
It was long ago, but it's a long time.
It was around 95.
Hey.
Yeah. It wasn't.
Speak for yourself.
It was.
95.
About 30 years.
Yeah, right in there. Yeah.
Quite
yeah.
a while.
Yeah.
That's true.
And that's the difference. That's the difference between, like, the SWID dorms and the Big Spring dorms. The SWID dorms are not as old as the Big Spring dorms, but the bathrooms in the SWID dorms were kind of behind what's happening with the Big Spring dorms. But it's like what we did with the Big Spring dorms. We had to go in and really work those bathrooms, and we did, and that got us another 15 years. But that's basically what we're talking about doing at SWID, go in and really work those dorms, bathrooms again, and then again, those, we have to remember, it's just like, again, at your house, I mean, those bathrooms, they're being used all the time, and we've got students coming in, and there's just a lot of traffic, so it just doesn't take long until it's time to do something different, so... It's kind of where we are with our SWID campus.
Well, we've already agreed to fund the biggest part of SWID's.
That's yeah. right. So we have some things that are in phase one. Yeah, they're in phase one.
Okay.
Again, so, signage. I would think that for SWID especially, for all the campuses, the signage, you've got that in phase two. I would think that would be a high priority item. I mean, if you've got hearing impaired people coming, it's that much more critical that they know where they are and how to get to where they're going. So again, I would probably think that's, again, something that we should be doing in next year's budget. I mean, $20,000, but again, you know, if it helps kids or students or whoever not get lost, that's the whole idea.
Sure.
It's good to have it in here, but I think it needs to.
See, I forgot to warn everybody about reading ahead on the master plan.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
Yeah. He did his homework.
Yeah.
So,
I actually did.
Taking the wind out of my sails over here.
I have another question. So are we planning on bringing back, like, sports to SWID? Because the activity building is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I know, like, my daughter's school rented it out for high school volleyball, and it's a beautiful facility, and so many people come in there. But there were roof leaks, and the flooring needed to be replaced, and I don't see any of that.
Just got through redoing the roof, put a metacrylic coating on it, which is phenomenal.
Okay.
We're thinking it's going to be good for 20 years.
Okay.
And I wasn't aware that the floor was messed up.
Well, I mean, when we were there, water was pouring in on it. So, I mean, I would assume maybe it didn't mess it up, but I feel like there were spots. Oh, it'll be in September, October. I haven't been out there since we did the tour there, but I know at that point.
There was some conversation about that when we were out there. There was, I don't remember quite what was said, but there was something said about it.
And I wish somebody would tell me about it. If
it's worthy of effort, in other words.
If it makes a lot of money, I can't make a work on it. We just need to have, you know, some dialogue between those guys out there. We can affect the necessary repairs.
And then the other thing I'm looking at too is like when we get survey results from SWIFT, there were not very many that responded. And so part of me was thinking that we send them an English survey when their primary language is not English, it's ASL. And so I'm wondering if we would have gotten a better response from that campus had it been an ASL survey. Just throwing that out there.
I do think that, and you know, Jeff can weigh in on this, but I do think that we tried to do some of that through some small groups with the students, getting some of that input. So. But your point, you know, I mean, as far as like community members out there in the world, you know, because we were asking people, you know, from anywhere to respond to these. And so that could have been a good thing to do to have had that available.
Typically, I don't know if it's really bad. And plus when meetings is you know, part of these students came, but even so it wasn't very interesting. Quite a few of it.
Okay, so we've already touched on phase one. We do in the dormitory bathrooms, the student kitchen, and of course in phase one, as with every campus, you know, IT security is a big part of that. Then touched on phase two, create wayfinding. Something tells me that may be moving to another phase here in the near future. Phase three, small campus walk. I think we can get a half a mile around there. Even community can come use that and then create small volleyball court inventory for student activity, outdoor activity. And then phase four, create community building at the colleges. Small meeting area, lounge, kind of building. So, when we look at the recap, talk about when we need to we've got the narrative and
And, you know, Phil, based on what I just said, you know, probably what we ought to be doing around phase four, we probably need to start thinking in terms of new dorms for SWIS, because about that time frame would be when we would start trying to go to the legislature and start saying, okay, you know, we need to be looking at new dorms. So we may want to add that.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be much smaller and, you know, probably less costly than a building that size.
Yeah.
That's probably makes sense not just for the cost, but from the fit.
Yeah.
That is another point
we'll
take. Okay.
You told the student numbers are up by then.
We're going to take these
or
comments.
Or else they won't go
for
it.
We still have work that we're doing. We're going to try to be, you know, be ready for the March 4 meeting and try to get a blessing from the board or, you know, at least a small number of modifications made in 4 years.
And Phil, let me add, we wanted to get this in front of y'all. You know, obviously, y'all are the ones that are going to be making the final approval, but we're going to start pushing this out to, like, the cabinet. Really, they just now have copies of this. I mean, not that they haven't been weighing in, but they're going to start weighing in on it. We're going to start getting the campus community involved in talking about it. We will have opportunities to do that with different venues. And so this next month, we'll keep fine-tuning this thing. And so when we bring it back, you know, it could be, guys, when we bring it back in February, it may be that we have some, you know, modifications that we need to talk to the board about. And then it may be the kind of final, you know. I mean, it could be the final, but it might be the kind of final,
yeah.
You know.
And, you know, this is the first time these guys have seen a lot of this.
Right.
And this will be twirling around in the back of their brain, incubating, and
exactly.
They have an epiphany and want to
exactly.
Build to this and take another shot at it.
Yeah.
It's a great start. It's a great start.
It's y'all's master plan. It's not mine. It's not Terry's. It's the college's. Y'all will be using it. We project you'll be using it every day like you did the other one. So anyway, so it's a process, you know. And after you still going to be a process.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, if you have control.
Absolutely. And we'll find that things will change. You know, things that you can put in there for whatever reason in 3 or 4 years, it won't make sense,
yeah.
You know.
And
so,
you know, when we did the last one, we knew that distance learning was going to be huge.
Yeah.
We had no concept.
Yeah. Yeah.
One more question. So when we were looking at, like, phase four and stuff, do those prices, like,
no,
include
inflation? They're not escalated. Those are today's
cost. Dollars.
So
those are today's
costs.
Okay.
We've got to be trying to make a decision on, are we going to try to inflate those?
Okay.
You
know, it's a crystal ball. Phil and I actually talked about this very thing this morning. You know, who knows what inflation is going to be in 20 years?
A lot.
I don't know that. I haven't gone back and looked at the 07 plan. They did try. But I haven't gone back and looked to see how close they were. My hunch is probably not good.
Yeah.
I think from what I remember, we put like a 0.5% a month. And, you know, over, you know, that's a lot. More, yeah, I wonder how close it is. That'd be a good case study to see how close we got.
The other thing that happened on that first one, what we thought, like with the GO bond, what we were going to do with that $21.6 million, we actually thought that was going to not go as far as it did. And that enabled us, because we were at a good bid climate, we were able to do things that we thought we weren't going to be able to do. And we moved over into second phase, and we were able to pick some stuff up. So,
yeah, we actually touched 2 or 3 buildings that we didn't even think that we would.
Yeah, we bid the first project, and we weren't real close on that. The room got really warm, and we had to come in and tell you how much it was, you know. And, but, I don't know, after that, bidding climate improved, and we worked on the Davis Center and the Warren Center, and we did the plaza out front of the admin. And
yep.
Vince
came in very favorably. I remember one thing in particular was the dental plant in the Loop.
Right.
And it was $2 million under expected cost.
Yeah.
And that went a long way.
That went a long way.
For helping Warren, the Veterans Center, and I don't remember what else. But
yep. Yep.
Now, if you look at the draft report, we don't have anything for Chapter 6 route. You know, like the executive summary, we want to wait to the end when things become a lot more finite and static before we write that. It'll be in the final report. You'll see it maybe before the final report. I'm not exactly sure how we're going to handle that. But, you know, like I said, this is a work in progress. We've come a long ways, and we think it's going to be a great document, but we still got a ways to go. That was the kind of the planning part. Now we got the appendix chapter with the altered graphs and the evaluation of them. We get Terry to kind of touch on that stuff, and then I'll just get in the clock with that.
Okay, if you'll flip to the back to appendix. There are three appendices. As Phil mentioned, the quality survey data begins there, which I believe is going to start on page 47. And skipping over a page to actually 49 and following in appendix A, the plan here was to show how each campus compares on each question. And we thought that could be kind of telling with the level of satisfaction. For example, question one, the campus is attracted and offers an appealing first impression and is an asset for campus enrollment. And you can see that there's a wide disparity, you know, especially looking in La Mesa. We got a high level, well, not that there was that many responses, but there was a high level of disagreement with that question and so on and so forth. So that was the reasoning behind showing these graphs in a comparative nature like that. It just is an indicator of the level of satisfaction or agreement with each of those questions. And I think Phil mentioned, you know, the fact that we did get a lot of responses. I think on the 07 survey, I think we only had 167 responses district-wide.
That's right. Yeah.
And we had just under, it was either 448 or 445 or 448 responses district-wide, which we thought was really, I mean, that's a threefold increase almost. And so we were very, very pleased with that. I think there was a couple of reasons that we were able to get that kind of level of participation. One, we cut the number of questions down from, I think, 67 down to 16. And we really feel like people got tired of answering questions on the first one and on the 07 survey.
Yeah.
So we wanted to do whatever we needed to do to get a broad input from the stakeholders. And so I think we were successful in that regard. If you flip to Appendix B, now we're talking, we're starting to split the responses outside campus in Appendix B. And so you'll see Big Spring data. You'll be able to drill down, in other words, on Big Spring data and then La Mesa and followed by San Angelo Swift. And if you, for example, if you look at the comparative data and you say, I wonder why the responses came back the way they did on question six or whatever, you can then go to Appendix B to to the given campus that you have a question about, and not only do you see the answers again reflected, but then if you look at the written responses that follow, that helps, because we did ask in the survey, if you disagree or strongly disagree, we want your input, we want your guidance or your description to comply and felt that way. And so some of the questions had a lot of responses, and so so that helps I believe to understand why the questions were responded to the way they were. All pretty self-explanatory. And then the final appendix C are the building regulations, and as Phil mentioned, he and I literally inspected in detail each building on each campus, each major building. There might have been a couple of small,
yeah, little small storage buildings or something
like that.
We didn't
do those, but and so I think this helps to, for one thing, you know, it gave us a written record of what we saw, but it also is kind of documentation of current state. And so Dr. Sparks, the board, Fabian can use this to say, hey, you know, we're having funding problems. I wonder if that was noticed, you know, in the 2024 evaluation. And so I'm not saying that we might not have missed some things, but we certainly try not to.
But you know, we thought we knew a lot, but we found out even more. We learned a lot.
Yeah, we did.
From doing those surveys, really and true.
It's been an interesting process.
Yep.
There's much worth of work that we've gone into it so far.
Yeah, it was quite extensive.
Well, and I just want to thank these two guys.
Yeah.
Again, I think you can see why we felt like they were the ones to do this,
mm-hmm.
Because they actually were a part of the last one, and I'll be real honest, the most effective use that came out of the previous plan was the document that basically, what do we call it? It's the one that just has the
spreadsheet.
Yeah, the spreadsheet with the phases on it, and then the building and, you know, the approximate cost. So the other was just not that useful from what happened the last time. So that was another, you know, we worked with, again, a firm that's well known for doing these kinds of things, but I really feel that they've approached it in a great way, so I really appreciate what you guys have done.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
I know this was long, but I think that it was important for you to really understand what went into this and where we're trying to where we're trying to go. We did bring it to you today for your input and guidance. I think some really great comments were made, and we will make adjustments based on that. And I expect more too.
Yeah. Needs to happen.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was an appropriate meeting because the January board meeting is the one when the board does their strategic planning as a board. And so it's a perfect kind of a little exercise, even though this is not the year that they're supposed to do the official evaluation. They do one every year in January. And so I think that the timing of it was really good. And it helps them as we're preparing for budget and all those things. So, okay.
Any other questions, comments?
Looks good.
Thank you for your time.
We appreciate it. Phil, you did a great job. You and
cheers.
All right. We're going to move on to our next item, which is organizational changes.
That'll be very short, as I mentioned. In executive session, we've just got a lot of changes that are going on and basically kind of updating y'all that we will be moving forward in the next few weeks to make some changes, and we'll report back.
All right, thank you. All right, going to the Big Spring campus, we need a resolution for Dora Roberts Foundation grant.
Yes, again, we are so blessed to have the Dora Roberts Foundation that shows so much support for this campus and has through the years, and so we prepared a, let me get to it, we have a, resolution. In support and recognition and honoring them as of January 29th, 2024. In the interest of time, I won't go through the entire document unless you want me to, but the bottom line is the Dora Roberts Foundation provided a donation of $224,000 that will continue the support of the two nursing faculty positions, student scholarships, which they've done for many, many years, and infrastructure improvements. This is the second year that they have funded some money for the Howard College Rodeo Arena. And so we're very appreciative of that. And with your passing of this, then we will get this document to them.
Need a motion to approve this resolution?
To motion.
Have a motion to have a second.
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, nothing for La Mesa, San Angelo, or SWID, so we're on to our performance measure outcome, access.
And actually student success.
And student success.
Is where we're going to be. And I believe that Amy was going to cover this one today.
I'll try to give the short version. Again, remember we started the 8-week model this academic year. At the same time, we learned about our new performance funding model. So some of this is going to just be repeat, but it can get confusing the way we report enrollment between what's actual now and what the coordinating board had as a census date. It really is probably say final, but on the second page, the fall 2023 semester term, we just wanted you to see that the summer term now is 9 weeks long. And the second, what is usually considered the second summer term, falls in the enrollment with the fall. That makes sense because it's after the census date, after July 18th. That's why the numbers are going to look kind of crazy. And then you have your 16-week term and the census date, and then the first and second 8 weeks as well. I just kind of get you thinking about, in the census date for those, it's just the official day that the coordinating board sets. And this is when we take a snapshot of your enrollment data. And then the graph just shows kind of a visual of how the weeks fit together. And you'll see in the middle where you have, for instance, the summer 2-4 weeks, that's what I'm talking about, really is counted as part of the 16-week term now, just because of the date, the way it falls. And the extended semester part of term, that's just a very few classes that are in high school that run all year long. Because they don't end until half where our students are out. So really, in looking at the enrollment comparisons, and that's the, it just shows you the headcount from 19 to now fall 23. And on that fall 22 cell, I invited Rebecca here to, because I mess up anything that's any technical. Rebecca is our reporting officer. We talk a lot about Rebecca because she does an awesome job and she knows these numbers. But in fall 22, the census headcount was the 3264, which was a decline. I believe we talked about this at one enrollment meeting. But that's because we have so many that enrolled after the census date, and so we officially could not count them yet, at least this date. But if you'll see these numbers in brown, we really were up, we would have been up 8.79% had we been able to count all those students that enrolled after the census date. And then she went on to show you just the fall 2023 enrollment. We are up, but that number includes everything. We went ahead and started trying to include everything. And if you remember, we put in that request to the coordinating board for a non-traditional reporting format. I don't know what they will, I don't know if it would be necessary for anything like that Because now that the reporting is on performance funding, it's everything's going to change.
No.
We don't know yet how that's going to look. I don't think we know yet.
But the bottom line is enrollment this year was up.
Right now, it is up from last fall.
Yeah, but this fall was up 8.17%. So we're on the plus side.
I'm trying to compare apples to apples.
Yeah,
that's right. It's hard comparing apples to apples anymore.
Yeah, all the apples are different kinds of apples.
And that just goes on to show you the credit hours and the contact hours. And if you're this format we thought would be easier moving forward, just to see. And we took this Lynn College reporting like this. We liked how they did, so we're going to try the same format, except the performance funding will change. And then the next slide just shows you the credit hours by term fall. And this is how the hours were laid by the different terms. Next one is the fall enrollment headcount by campus. Now I'm going to show you most of our campuses are up. We have some decreases at Wamisa and SWIFT. So we're watching those numbers. And when you have the smaller numbers, if there's one class that doesn't make or if something happens and it drops those numbers, I mean the percentage more than others. And then last page, I just wanted to remind you, this fall 23 was our first semester to offer the 8-week, the majority of the 8-week format. In addition, it was the first year that we did the enrollment reporting change because of financial aid regulations. So that's some very complicated things in the mix and trying to consider. Any questions?
A comment I would make that could be a good thing is that everything is changing right now. So it's kind of like the benchmark that we're going to be getting, it's going to be that benchmark going forward because of the fact that, again, all the variables are changing. When we go backwards and we look at some of our numbers, you know, Rebecca, I'm looking at you. I mean, we're going to be able to see some trends. We're going to have to be careful about how we look at trends because of the fact that it's literally everything is just, I feel like everything's just been thrown up and we're starting all over again.
Yeah.
And again, with the performance-based model, enrollment matters. Obviously, we want to be serving students in as much as we can, but even more so, what are we doing? What are we producing? What are those students, you know, it's achieving while they're here, and so you'll be filming that a lot more.
Yeah, and you will see, we'll be coming back to you to recommend that we report to you, based on some of the conversations we had earlier, about certain things in different ways. And although we will probably always be bringing back headcount, because that's still important. It's not as if we don't care about numbers of headcount anymore, and it will matter by campus and all the things we've done. We're going to be looking at other numbers and focusing on other things. So we've been struggling to get that accountability calendar to you because we're still waiting on some of the things that the coordinator board is creating. They're changing everything they're doing on their website. And so there's just a lot of change, and it makes it very difficult.
Do we have, Amy, do you have a, you probably know this better than anybody. No, because you do this. Do you have a sense, because these numbers, like you say, they're all over the place, and that's understandable. I mean, the reporting has changed, so the numbers change with it. Do you have a sense, headcount is bottom line, the most basic tool. We are up, you would say?
I think maybe slightly. I mean, I think we're managed. I think we're stable. You know, I mean, I don't know, probably housing problems, but, you know, in moving forward, you might see some decreases in certain populations, because if we're required to analyze what we're offering, there may be some courses in high schools that don't lead to any certification, that don't mean anything, you know, and so I think we're going to see some ups and downs until we figure out exactly what our menu is for certain locations and populations, and I'm hoping that we can offer a greater variety menu to more and serve more people, and then you'll be seeing, and you'll see upward trends. This Friday, they've even changed some of the variables that we're going to be able to count for performance funding. I'm just reading through that, so things just keep changing. I think we're stable with the normal headcount of what you're used to seeing.
How's that for a
good no answer?
Yeah, but I mean,
that's a good answer.
You know, it's difficult.
Yeah,
right
no,
now.
It is. It wasn't a trick question. I mean, you just try to get a snapshot of where the college is, and it's hard when they keep moving the goalposts,
mm-hmm.
you know, to figure that out. And we've made the changes too, a lot from the 16-week to the 8-week, and that had some controversy attached to it, and so forth. And I just don't really want to see us lose a lot of ground, particularly, you know, in headcount, because even though I realize that they're looking at different metrics and different things now, you still got to be able, at the end of the day, to hold your head up and say that we're serving, you know, a good number of students. I mean, it's all well and good to serve one student and have them get a certificate and you have 100% success rate, but that doesn't really make you a college.
Exactly. I do think some of the legislative things that the FAFSA dollars in the high school, there's opportunities for students to take college-level core courses without necessarily being completely college-ready by the Texas Success Initiative. There's some things that are in place that I think is going to help us serve more students.
That's good. More is good.
Thank you. All right. Next item on the agenda is Community Workforce Development.
Yes. Just a reminder that the Howard County Leadership Summit is scheduled for Wednesday, February the 7th, and it's at 1:30. It's going to be in the East Room of the Coliseum, and we really, today, if you can let me know or let one of us know as you're leaving what your plans are on that, because we've got to submit a report.
I'll be there.
Okay, some numbers. And so, okay, and it's going to be a little more informal, a little more of a planning type session, a little more intimate. That's one of the reasons that we determined to have it in the East Room. We thought, you know, again, you kind of get, that Coliseum is wonderful, but you sure can get lost in it, and it's difficult if you're trying to actually have a lot of conversation. So, that'll be what happens. So, again, if you'll let us know.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Okay. Next item is Performance and Excellence, Preliminary Audit Report.
All right. Preliminary Audit Report. Jan, are you on the line?
I am.
Great. Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it. As always, Brenda and team have been working tirelessly, working with Jan and Pauline and others from Logan Thomas and Johnson to complete this preliminary audit. We gave you do have that information that was provided over the weekend. I mean, literally, they working over the weekend, still working to get this thing finalized, but it's to a point that definitely Jan felt comfortable presenting. So, Jan, it's yours.
All right, thank you. Just from listening to the meeting prior to my presentation, it's always nice to hear an active board as an auditor, and so I want to commend you on just being an active board and asking questions and not just rubber stamping everything. It's wonderful to hear.
I think
so I'm sure you have the...
They're very nice, but they're active.
So I'm sure you have the huge document in front of you, and if you just want to we can get started on it. I'm not going to do a long presentation because I know you've already listened to a lot. I just wanted to point out that on page 5, which isn't numbered, so it's a mystery report, but it's after page 4, is our audit opinion on the financial statements. And it's an unmodified opinion, which is the best opinion you can get. And our opinion is that the financial statements are fairly stated in accordance with government accounting standards. On page 8, this begins management's discussion and analysis of what happened during the year and the status of the college as of August 31st, 2023. This reads a lot easier than the footnotes to the financial statements and balance sheets, and it summarizes a lot of the activity that happened during the year. So if you don't want to read all 92 pages of the financials, I would read this section so you can get a feel for, if you don't already have it, of the financial position and operations of the college during 23. So then the official financial statements begin on page 18. And this is the statement of net position, otherwise known as a balance sheet in the real world. And I just wanted to point out a couple of things on it. One is that your total current assets, it's about the fifth or sixth row down, is about $37 million. And then your current liabilities, about midway through the page, is $9 million. So you have a very healthy current ratio. And what that means is that you're able to pay your liabilities when they come up. So your current ratio is about 300%, which is great. Down at the bottom of the page is your net position, which is your equity. And you can see that there's a negative unrestricted net position, and that's mainly due to all the standards that had to be adopted, and I know Dr. Sparks and Brenda have talked to you about this before, about the pensions and employee benefit plan liabilities and deferred inflows and outflows that have to be recorded in accordance with GAAP. So without those, you would be in a positive position there. And I do want to point out on page 19, I'm not going to talk about it very much, but page 19 as a statement of position for the foundations that are considered to be component units of the college. So they need to be reported in your financial statements. And I got all that information, obviously, from the foundations, and they were very helpful as well. Page 20 is your statement of revenue, expenses, and changes in net position. The third line from the bottom shows your increase in net position, which is net income, and it's about $4 million, which is consistent with the previous year, I feel. It's within $500,000. The big changes in operating revenues are the federal grants. Your COVID grants dropped $2 million from 22 to 23. And your federal grants dropped about $2 million from 22 to 23. So that explains that change in revenue. It looks large, but it's mostly due to COVID grants. Similarly, operating expenses, they increased due to about $1.8 million in salary and benefit increases that were approved during the year. So that's the reason for the large increase in operating expenses. And I do want to point out, because it makes your net income fluctuate quite a bit. There's under non-operating revenues and expenses, there's a line for investment income. So whenever the market changes or has a swing, it affects your income statement due to the unrealized gains or losses on investments. And when interest rates go up, you are invested mostly in money markets and certificates of deposit. So now that the interest rates are going up, your income is increasing. So just by economic factors outside of your control, your net income can swing significantly from one year to the next. So your income was $100,000 in 22, and it was almost $600,000 in 23. But we're all happy the interest rates are going up on your investment account. Page 22 is the statement of cash flows. And really all I want to point out here is that you had an increase in cash and cash equivalents during 23. And that is about the middle of the page again. Your increase was $1.5 million. As far as the footnotes, there's a lot of pages of additional information if you want to drill down to anything on the financial statements. There aren't any big changes from last year. They're pretty consistent, so I don't really have anything to talk about there. On page 72, this begins the supplemental schedules that are required by the State of Texas Coordinating Board. And this offers you more in-depth detail of, for example, what makes up tuition and fees that's on your statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in net position. If you want to see what's in net tuition and fees and the changes in those balances, this would be where you need to go. It's got good detail about what funds are affected, auxiliary funds or the unrestricted funds, et cetera. And so these schedules provide more detail if you haven't already been bored to death by the time you get back to page 72. So 74, 75, and 76 are all supplemental schedules that provide additional detail that you might be interested in. Page 78, I just thought you might be interested in the federal grants that you receive. If you don't know a detail of where you're getting federal money from and state money, that information starts on page 78, and it helps you see which government agencies are providing money, which obviously Department of Education provides quite a bit, and then who the pass-through entities might be that are providing money to the university, I mean the college as well. And that's all my presentation. I really don't want to belabor anything too much because you've had a long meeting already. I do want to thank everyone. The finance staff is amazing as always. They hold everyone accountable. They hold me accountable. And they do a great job. They're extremely conscientious about everything that goes into this document. And I appreciate working with them so much. And I love working with the college. I love the tone at the top that the board gives to everyone down the line at the college. It's amazing, and it's really nice to work with an entity such as yours.
Thank you, Jan. We appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Very much. Okay. Well, and then y'all will be putting the final touches on it, Jan, and then we will, at the February board meeting, we'll share the final report. That'll just be some, I'm looking at Brenda, making sure I'm, because I can't see your face, Jan, but looking at Brenda.
All right.
just some little final touches, edits, and then we'll be finished. Is that right,
yeah,
Brenda?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right, from my end.
I'm getting her to shake her head, and I'm getting you to. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. And so this, again, is one of those reports. I mean, it's you take it in. You don't approve it because obviously our auditors are telling us this is the state of the college's finances. And so, again, we really appreciate you all, Jan, and how you work with us. I think I do agree with you. We have a fantastic group, fantastic staff, led by Brenda, who will quickly point to everybody else. But we really appreciate her. And, of course, it's a team effort everywhere across the district. Everybody has to keep up with their money. And, as we say in HR, everybody's an extension of HR. Everybody's an extension of the finance area as well. So
Thank you for guiding us through the year, and that's something we really appreciate. It's like we get a, to help us get a good grade, you're giving us good help all year long, and so we really appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to our next item, monitoring purchasing.
Okay. All right. We have an RFP, and Steve's coming forward to discuss that.
Hi, everyone. This RFP is titled Bluetooth Networking and Telecom Wiring. It's not for a specific project. It's for a vendor that wants work all through the year, but then we start hitting that $50,000 threshold. So we sent out still a request for that, and we had two responses, one from ATS, which is local, and then we have a Leak Solutions, which is from San Angelo. We would recommend that you accept both of those people to periodically come in when they need. We give them quite a bit for wiring services, that you would accept both ATS and Leak Solutions as a vendor for networking and telecom.
Okay, do I have a motion to approve this request? I have a motion. Do I have a second? I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. This is an update.
Thank you.
All right. You all have had the opportunity to actually view the new buses, and we're very, very proud of them. And so basically that was just left in there as an update if there's any questions or comments. But, again, you got to see the real thing.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, the buses are great. According to Bert Hilger, everything works.
That's right.
First time.
Yep.
Okay. Handbook catalog changes. There are none. Construction renovation projects.
All right. Terry will give the final report on the music building.
Okay. And or Phil.
Yeah, if you want to do it. Yep.
I think everybody knows that the construction was essentially finished in I guess in December, although there were a few little tweaks that we were still pursuing even to up to a couple of days before the grand opening, and not that I got nervous. But anyway, you know, we're very pleased with the outcome. Phil did a great job design work, and J.C. Roberts executed well. And I don't know what Phil might want to say.
Well, it was just, it was a great process. It was kind of a dream come true for me and Dr. Sparks. We've been chewing on that deal for 20 years. Carol Adams made it happen. I stayed around and spent extra time with her, make sure she was happy, and no pressure, I hope that I think she loved it. It was a good experience all the way. Any help from Terry, he tried to act like he was do not holding the pins at the deal. He was way involved. He really helped make the process go. I really appreciate helping everybody out. Thank you for talking to you.
I know Miss Adams was pleased with it. She was really, really excited about it when I talked to her. So y'all did a great job.
So she sure seemed to be.
Really appreciate everybody's effort to come and be a part of that day. And those flowers that are out there on the table, I don't know if you happened to notice them when you walked in, but Carol sent those to all of us again, recognition, thanks for appreciation for everybody's involvement. So it was a special day. It's done. We check it off our list.
How did we do with the budget for the music book? Did we come in?
We didn't even spend all the contingencies.
Very good.
We had a few little things pop up, but, they were just $300 for this event.
But basically, we were on budget.
Under budget.
Slightly. Yeah.
That's great.
Okay.
Great job.
This day and age, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And unusual. Unusual.
That's really a testament to the thoroughness of this work, too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And the library. They're so visually appealing the way they were done. I mean, really, couldn't have been better.
Anyway, thank y'all for letting us do that for you. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Our next item on the agenda is the winter break project.
All right. Fabian, if you want to come forward and just give the board a short update. There were several things going on over the winter break.
So there were two major projects. One was the built-in hot water underground loop that started leaking. It was December 7th. Everything is fixed. They fixed that during our Christmas break. I believe it was like the 20th, 21st, or 22nd. When they had everything fixed and wrapped. So we ended up replacing all four valves. So you have two valves that are for the hot water, right? One is the supply, one is the return. Two for the chilled water, same thing, supply and return. So those valves were replaced. There were two 6-inch valves, two 8-inch valves, and then some of the pipe was rotted out, so they had to cut that out, weld it in, lots of work. I know that Black Plumbing, they were actually here helping us with that also because they had a mini hydro vac, and they were here until like 4 in the morning one day excavating those pipes because they had to be 2 feet underneath the pipe so that the welder could get in there, cut it out, and weld everything back in. So that's up and running. The only thing that is lacking are the valve boxes that will be attached to the top of the valve and then insulated all the way around to keep everything nice and watertight. The other project was the gas line at the McKinney Building. That was started mid-November. They estimated that it would take anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks, but with Thanksgiving in the mix, it took about a month to get that all tied in. So we also had some underground gas lines for the McKinney, and the they wide off. One goes to the McKinney, one goes to the men's dorm. Those were leaking, so we have an above-ground manifold with above-ground valves, so we no longer have buried valves. The entire gas line inside the McKinney Building was replaced, and also the riser, what feeds that gas line into the regulator that goes into the McKinney Building, all that was replaced. So everything's good.
Awesome.
All right. Yeah. You had a mess on your hands.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Now we're down to the president's report.
All right. I can make this fast. Okay. Upcoming activities, let me just, on your calendar, you can see all that. I've already reminded you about the 7th. Any of you that are going to the chamber banquet, if you'll let us know, if you're interested in that.
When is that?
This Thursday, 5:30, 8, so you'll let us know about that. And again, the County Leadership Summit. The rest of these things are mainly sports related, and we have a tree planting ceremony in honor of our employee that passed away, Kayla Sanders, at the cottage on the 16th. And your next meeting is on the 26th. Okay. Moving along with recognition, very proud to report that Howard Cottage received a 4-star rating, which is the highest you can get, as a Texas Rising Star provider. And that was achieved over an 18-month period. So, again, very proud of that. And not a lot of providers out there in the world have that. The other thing, our HC Livestock Show team placed second at the Fort Worth Stock Show. Max, you might think that's impressive, with an exceptional pair of lambs, and they also had You rank 11th in the competitive class of 38. So they're doing really well. We're very, very proud of those students and excited for them because they work hard to make that happen. Okay, the next thing, as far as legislative and general updates, I feel like we've kind of gone over some of that today. I know we keep saying it, but I just keep trying to get it. There's massive changes going on, and we are trying to stay up with it, adjust to it, and align with it, and so there's a lot of process that's going on through all of those changes that came out of the legislature. That would be the main thing that I would provide today under legislative general updates for training. The Board of Trustees Institute, there is one February the 27th to the 28th. If you would like to attend that, we can get you signed up. We can talk about that. And then the Community College Association of Texas Trustees will be meeting at Odessa College on March 22nd. I think that would be a great field trip in the our swim bus.
Absolutely.
You know, I think the bigger bus that might be, you know, we'll have to see if we have anything on the schedule, but I think that the swim bus, that could be a great one. Okay. We've listed all the things that could happen at the next board meeting for you, but those can change as well. And so that would be all that I would report today. We've had a lot to share with you, and we appreciate your time today. You spent a lot of time with us. Thank you.
Okay. Any additional comments from the board? Okay. I don't have anything to report, so by the authority granted by the governor of Texas, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank y'all very much.
I'll give you the leadership thing.
What is the Institute?
No, the
Odessa one.
And the Odessa one.
The Odessa one.
And the one on the 7th.
Oh, on the 7th. Okay.
The Board of Trustees Institute. I guess I talked to Brenda about it slightly. I wonder if anybody else is looking to go. It seems like a lot of work for one person to go.
Yeah.
But if other people are interested in going, I would probably go as well. But they were pushing that real hard with that new trustees thing.
Yeah.
We've
been before, and so, you know, it's just kind of a matter of what y'all want to do.
It seems to me, and I could be being unfair, that a lot of these things, whether it's the Texas big meeting or any of these, they're all variations on a theme.
Sure.
And there is value in networking to a point.
Sure.
Because somehow we don't...
We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang up.